Our call to worship today, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Did you hear that? But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside of the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, and I pray that our worship will be pleasing and acceptable to you. I just thank you for all those that are here, and Lord, for this time. I pray that you'll just fill our hearts with joy and peace and love, patience and long-suffering for all of those in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be speaking from Romans 8 today, verses 9 through 11, as we work our way through Romans. This is a wonderful chapter and a wonderful text that we're going to be going through today. And if you have your Bibles open to Romans 8, if you put a little bookmark in there, and because we're going to be coming back to Romans 8 throughout the entire message. Verses 9, 10, and 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I have a little short story from my Chuck Swindoll illustration book. And it goes like this. And I don't remember when this happened, so it might have been a while ago. It might have been 10 years, 20 years ago. It says, one of the largest department stores in our nation took on a commercial venture that proved to be disastrously unsuccessful. It was a doll in the form of baby Jesus. It was advertised as being unbreakable, washable, and cuddly. It was packaged in straw and a satin crib and plastic surroundings, and appropriate biblical text added here and there to make the scene complete. It did not sell. The manager of one of the stores in the department chain panicked, and he carried out a last-ditch promotion to get rid of these dolls. He brandished a huge sign outside his store and said, Jesus Christ, marked down 50%. Get him while you can. Now, in some ways, it's sort of humorous. In other words, it's not. Jesus Christ cannot be bought. He cannot be bought. But if you're willing to give your life to him, if you're willing to give your life to him, he will give you eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll be with each one of us here in this room. I pray that you'll help us understand the Holy Spirit and the purpose and the result. We give this time to you. Pray that my words will be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord. Amen. I don't know if you've paid any attention to the title this morning. Do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? And I would trust that everybody here would be able to raise their hand if I were to ask you, do you belong to Christ? But I think the title is probably a little bit it doesn't quite say what I want to tell you this morning. It probably should say something like, do you know that you belong to Christ? Do you know? Or maybe even it should say, how do you know that you belong to Christ Jesus? How do you know that? Do you belong to Christ? Let's look at the first verse, Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Verse 9 begs a question. Do you belong to Christ? The second phrase there, I want to read the first two phrases. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Are you catching that? You're not in the flesh anymore. If you've turned your life over to Jesus, you are in the Spirit, if, only if, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Last week we talked about those who were in the flesh. And our call to worship was Romans 12, 1 through 2. And verse 2 said this, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you set your mind, if you belong to the flesh, if you do fleshly things and satisfy the desires of your flesh, you will set your minds on the things of the flesh. But if you set your minds on the things of the Spirit, you'll be spiritual. So it's the two different things. There's a battle inside of us. We talked about that last week. So the phrase, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, is more of a clarifying statement. If you belong to the Spirit, then the Spirit belongs to you. So how do you know if the Spirit dwells in you? How do you know? Are you Spirit-filled today? How do you know? Sunday school answer. The Bible tells me so. Verse 9 says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Well, it's a clarifying question, wouldn't you say? It's a good question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of His deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope and eternal life. Listen to verse 8. This is the trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently. Paul is telling Timothy to speak confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. We don't do good deeds to get to heaven, friends, but we do good deeds because we are going to heaven, because you belong to Jesus Christ. These things are good and profitable of a man, it says. So if you have turned your life over to Jesus, if you have turned your life over to Jesus and have made Him Lord of your life, then God gives you the Holy Spirit. It's yours. He is yours if you belong to Him. Jesus, before He left this world, He's talking to His disciples and He says, I'm leaving with you who? The Helper, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verses 16 and 7, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. but you know him because he abides within you. Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside of us. And if we just skip forward a couple of verses in John 14, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. But how do you know? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is here? If you indeed have the Spirit. If you indeed have the Spirit. So if you were asking the question today, how do you know? That's a good question to ask. The important question to ask. But there's maybe another question to ask that's maybe more important. Have you turned your life over to Jesus? Because remember the first verse, it says if you don't turn your life over to, if you don't belong to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit isn't inside of you. So if you turn your life over to Jesus, let's look at the next two verses, Romans 8, 10 and 11. If Christ is in you through the body, though the body, you know, I keep putting that R in there, through, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I love this verse. But sometimes it might seem a little bit confusing. You might not understand what it means. Jesus has given his Son. Why? Because we're all sinners, and we need a Savior. And so Jesus came and died for us, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we need help. He reminds us of the things that he said. And then we don't die. All of us die once, but if we have the Spirit inside of us, our spirit does not die. We don't die a second death. If the Spirit of God is inside of us. If the Spirit of God is inside us. The clarifying statement. Jesus' very good friend Lazarus had died. And there were a bunch of people visiting Mary and Martha in the town of Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it had been 4 days since Lazarus had been put in the grave, and Jesus shows up. John 11, 17 through 27, Mary and Martha have this wonderful discussion. So when Jesus came, he had found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, I got to pause there. Do you remember the conversation probably a year or so before this? Jesus is visiting with them, and Martha was doing what? What? Cooking and preparing a meal. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. The tables have turned here a little bit. Martha runs out to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day. And listen to verse 25. Listen very carefully to what Jesus tells Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. If you believe in me, you will live, even if you die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Can you say amen? Romans 9 says that's what we need to do. We need to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he died and was raised again. So the question still remains. Here's the question. How do you know that the Spirit lives inside of you? How do you know? How do you know? I like the phrase, and I've said it before, but we need to say it again. The proof is in the pudding. You're laughing. Well, you know, if you say you're somebody, you better be doing what that somebody is, right? I mean, if I'm a carpenter, what am I going to do? Huh? Pound a lot. I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to be building things. If you're a cook, you're going to be cooking. If you're a teacher, you're going to be teaching. If you're a lawyer, you're going to be keeping people out of trouble, hopefully. If you're a maintenance man, you're going to repair things. If you're a correction officer, you're going to keep people from doing it again. If you're a rancher, keep your feet out of the way. No. We are, hopefully, what we say we are. The proof is in the pudding. So if we believe in Jesus Christ, what are we going to be like? Jesus. And if we are Spirit-filled, we are like the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians says. Our call to worship today, 1 Corinthians 6, 17 through 20. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against the body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, what? Therefore, glorify God with your body. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to be glorifying God. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you're going to be praising God. How do you know? How do you know that Jesus is in you? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? You're going to be glorifying God. Galatians 5 says the same thing, verses 19 through 24. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity. We talked about this a week or two ago. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like those. The list could probably go on. And things like those of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom, but the fruit, the pudding, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If the flesh is in us, if the Spirit is in us, then we will not thrive in the flesh. We will not satisfy the desires of our flesh. We will not dwell on the flesh. Oh, yes, we are sinners, but if you have the Spirit in you, you confess your sins and you repent from them and you turn around and you go the other way. You do not live in your sin, because the Bible says that if you live in sin, you will not inherit the eternal life. You understand what it's saying? But verse 22 and 23 in Galatians says, But the fruit of the Spirit. We say that so many times. We've read it many times. What is it? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Rob, when you plant corn, how do you measure your success? By the yield, by the bushel. It's fruit. It's produce. It's productivity. It's the Holy Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness. And oh yes, self-control. That's how you know. Wednesday night, someone told me that I spoke last Sunday on the same thing that Sunday school was going to be on. And I think that's great. That happens a lot. We need reminders all the time, don't we? And the same thing happened Wednesday night. It talked about our study this last Wednesday night, an adult Bible study. It was the same thing I was going to preach on. We need reminders. And our last, Ray Vanderlaan, we've been going through his video series. And I need to quote Ray here. He says, "We ought to be a community who lives the presence of God." We ought to be a community here who lives the presence of God. This makes sense to me. If I claim to be something, I better live it, right? I better live it. Kyle Eidelman, the video series was called Not a Fan. And in there, Kyle, he kind of refers to our Christian life as a football game. And there's several people that are at a football game. One of them, the set of people that are there, is the players, right? Right? So if you're at a football game, the players are the ones who play the game. They're involved. There's another group of people that are called the fans. Well, what do the fans do? Or cry. There are a lot of things the fans do. They sit in the bleachers. They eat hot dogs. What? They support their team. They yell at the team, and they might even, yes, jump up and down. But there's one thing that the fans in the living of Jesus Christ do not do. Fans do not live by the Spirit. Fans of Christian life do not have love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. They don't, because they're only fans. They're only support. So Kyle says, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? In closing, I want to read this story of Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And if you know anything about the Pharisees, you understand that the Pharisees were sort of against Jesus. And being a person who didn't want to upset the apple cart, he came to visit Jesus at night so that no one would see him. I believe that was the reason. It doesn't really tell us. But John 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, can you imagine someone, I mean, if you've never heard the word born again, can you imagine having that concept in your head? How would that even possible? Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Listen to verse 7. "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit." How do you know the wind is blowing, Ruth?
It messes up my hair.
It messes up my hair. That's an answer I wasn't expecting. You see the results of the wind, don't you? The wind is blowing my hair. We have a problem. The wind, the trees are blowing, and dust is flying. We see the results. We don't know where the wind comes from. It's just there. It might be coming from the north, south, east, or west, or somewhere in the middle. We can't see it. We just know it's here. We feel it, don't we? It's the same with the Spirit. If you are not living in the Spirit and you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, you won't have the fruit of the Spirit. But if you have the fruit inside of you, the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see the results. The proof is in the pudding. I don't care if you got raisins or chocolate chips or whatever kind of pudding you have. It's the fruit is going to be evident in your lives. That's how you know. Amen. I have told many of you that years ago, you would never catch me preaching God's Word. Because I couldn't. Sweat and shake. Stumble over my words. But God has done a work in my life. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, ask her. She would tell you. It's incredible what God has done. And God, if you allow God to work in your life, you'll do some pretty incredible things. John 3, 19 through 21. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and the light does not and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to light, and that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought to God." I pray this week that as you think about the message, that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has worked in your life and that you are in obedience to him and that you have the fruit of the Spirit. But if you aren't, ask what the psalmist asked. That he asked the Lord to look into my heart and see if there's any offensive way in me. Confess your sin and then repent and come walking with him and accept that Holy Spirit in your heart. Amen. Have a good week.